John, how much are you glad that this regular season is over? Because it's like Toronto FC's season, it kind of feels like the NBA regular season to me. Let's get the regular season over with, and let's see what this team does in the playoffs. Is that kind of your feeling?
That's exactly my feeling. Look, it was great to cover this year because they were so good and they were playing an attractive brand of football, but there was almost a sense of inevitability to it, of like, yeah, they're going to finish first place. They're going to finish this points record. Ho-hum, that's great. But let's get to the playoffs, because that's when, you know, we get down to brass tacks. So, yeah, I'm especially looking forward to the playoffs, because I think, you know, this is going to be a tough series for TFC in New York. So I'm really interested to see how they not only handle the pressure, but how they, you know, go up against a team like New York, who's given them, you know, fits in the past.
Yeah, I guess the Red Bulls, like they create turnovers. They can smother people. Like what can we expect from them, and will they you know, produce fits for the Toronto FC to get the ball up?
Yeah, I mean, that smothering, that's a great way to put it, Sherry. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. I mean, they play a very high pressing style of game, so they try to force the issue by smothering players in their own sort of end to sort of create turnovers and then miscues, and then quickly hit out on transition. And they're one of the few teams in MLS who do it, and you know, they've had quite a bit of success, you know, with it over the years. It's kind of reminiscent of the type of player that Jesse Marsh was, who's the coach of New York Red Bulls, very sort of disruptive, and that's kind of the way he played. So the team is very much built in his image. And it's a challenge, right? Because Toronto is a team that likes to build out from the back and have possession. So this is going to be a real sort of tactical chess match between the two teams, because they play very distinct styles of soccer.
How tough is it to forget the failures of Toronto FC in New York? And obviously this is a different team, a different franchise, completely night and day to what it used to be. But do you think there's a pocket of TFC fans who just hate to see the Red Bulls in the first round of the playoffs because of some of those failures in the past?
I mean, if there are, then I wouldn't think there were the too many, because, I mean, to be fair, this is a completely different team than from those really poor TFC teams that, you know, crap the bed in New York for so long. It's a different sort of era for the franchise. They're under different management. So, I don't think fans are, you know, clinging to those sort of bad memories too much, because, as I said, it's a completely different team.
Now, Sebastian Giovinco missed four games with the quad injury. He had a bit of a slow start two games ago. He seemed a lot better last game. Is he up to speed now?
I think so. I think, you know, the last two games that he's played, especially the one in Atlanta last week, which was played on turf, you know, and for a guy like him, that's not his favorite surface. Mm-hmm. But he looked to be more in sync with his teammates. He was linking up very well with Jonathan Osorio in midfield. Had a couple of chances that he squandered, but I thought he was very effective up front and gave Atlanta's defense all kind of problems. And then, of course, that sort of free kick goal that he scored late in the game was just typical Giovinco scoring from, God, it must have been 30 yards out, and just putting it right in, you know, the top corner, giving, you know, the Atlanta goalkeeper, Brad Guzan, no chance. So I think, you know, if he's not back to what he was, he's pretty darn close.
Yeah, that was vintage Giovinco. That was a thing of beauty. Now, like his prolonged absence, on the flip side, will that be helpful? Like, will he have fresh legs?
Could be. Yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, he hasn't sort of been, you know, he hasn't sort of been spent himself so much, so to speak. So I'm sure he's got plenty left in the gas. And the injury that he had, it wasn't something debilitating where he had to do like a lot of gym work, right? It was just essentially rest, because he didn't want to sort of, you know, further strain the quad. So I think he's you know, fully rested, fully ready to go, and you know, playing you know, very close to you know, his top form. So I think he's gonna be a thorn in the side for New York over these two games.
Chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet, John Molinaro, joining us here on Sportsnet today along the Sportsnet radio network. That's Sherry. I'm George. John, is there any potential outside of watching Toronto FC? Is there a specific matchup TFC fans should look at that potentially could be a landmine somewhere here in the playoffs for Toronto FC, or ultimately in the MLS Cup?
I think it's the MLS Cup that they, you know, that could potentially, you know, be the landmine. I don't think there's any sort of team in the Eastern Conference that, you know, Toronto is looking at and saying, well, geez, we don't match up really well with them or hope we avoid them. I don't think they fear anyone in the East. And it's simply because, you know, over a two game series, I can't see anyone in the East really sort of beating them, especially when they have the home leg. It'd be one thing if it was a one game playoff, like it was the previous round where, you know, things happen in one games, you know, errors happen. You can hit the post. You can really hit, you run into a hot goalkeeper. You never know. But over a two legs, for a team to get the better of Toronto over two legs, with Toronto having the home field advantage in the decisive second game, that's a really tough ask. So I can't really see them being too concerned about anyone in the East right now. But the final is another matter of altogether. And as we saw last year, even when TFC held the home field advantage and, you know, Seattle didn't even register a single shot on goal, they still managed to, you know, frustrate and thwart them, and they held out for the penalty shootout win. So I think if anything that could potentially trip them up, it's going to be the MLS Cup final.
And what's interesting is you still have to get to the final. And what scares me is the no fear that you talk about. Like, there's no fear in the East, but that can be a real landmine. Can it not?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, I mean, potentially. And, I think, you know, other teams are certainly going to take notice of that, right? And I don't think there's any question that Toronto has, like, a big bullseye on their back right now, because I think everyone knows how, you know, Toronto was kind of the class of the Eastern Conference, and they're just so much better than everyone else. So that's going to put, you know, a bit of fuel, you know, in the gas tanks for teams like New York and potentially New York City FC and Columbus in the next round. I still think, though, that, you know, there's something to be said for having that sort of confidence and for, you know, just being that sort of, I wouldn't call it swagger. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just confidence, for lack of a better word. I think that goes a long way, especially in the playoffs. And it's not like they're braggadocious about it. I just think there's a quiet sort of confidence in their abilities and that they know that they're team to beat. And I think it's, you know, we'll see how well it serves them in the playoffs.
John, if people follow you on Twitter, and they should, at John Molinaro, you're a fan of the Serie A in Italy.
Yes.
And Sebastian Giovinco said something last week that I almost fell off my chair when I read it. He said that Toronto FC would not only avoid relegation in Serie A, they would be a mid-table team. Do you really believe that?
No. No. Look, God bless Sebastian Giovinco. You know, fantastic guy. I'm sure he was speaking, you know, just out of blind loyalty or frustration because he hasn't been called up by the Italian national team. Would they avoid relegation? Probably. I mean, they might sneak through, but, you know, do I see them finishing, you know, 10th or 11th in Serie A? No. I mean, I think they would be just above the relegation zone, if not in the relegation zone. And that's not to take anything away from Toronto FC. I think they're, you know, as I've said and written continually throughout this year, they're the best team in Major League Soccer right now. But let's, you know, let's keep things in perspective. I mean, let's not get crazy and suggest that they can, you know, take Europe by storm, because they're simply not at that level right now.
With all the team, like with everything it's accomplished this summer and this fall and become the best team ever in the MLS, is that all for nothing? Like, is it if they don't win the MLS Cup, is it MLS Cup or bust?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Sherry. It's one I've kind of struggled with. And, you know, this is me copping out, but I'll answer it two ways. On the one hand, yes. On the one hand, yes, I think it would be, you'd look at the season and was like, well, what was it all for? I mean, this was the prime goal, right? And they fully expect to win it. I think we fully expect them to win it. The fans fully expect them to win it. So anything short of that is going to be, you know, I think deemed unsuccessful. On the other hand, you look at what they've done this year. It's the single greatest regular season on record. They won a second consecutive Canadian championship. They're going back. They qualified for the CONCACAF Champions League next year. They were just head and shoulders so much better than everyone else that, you know, I appreciate MLS Cup would be, not winning it would be a disappointment, but, you know, very harsh to sort of write off the entire campaign as a complete, you know, waste of time and disappointment. I don't, you know, if they don't lift it, I don't think that there's no question it would be a disappointment. And I think there'll be a sense of emptiness within the organization that, you know, they fell short. But to write it off completely and say, you know, this was ultimately unsuccessful, I think that's a bit harsh, just considering everything they've accomplished to this point.
John, I'm sure, obviously, Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley are ridiculously motivated to win the MLS Cup after last season's penalty shootout in the final we talked about. But also their debacle in World Cup qualifying, that stunning tie in Trinidad and the stunning loss in Trinidad and Tobago to knock them out of the World Cup. How much more internationally are you going to see Michael Bradley play for the United States?
That's a very good question, George. I think, if I'm being completely honest, I would think Jozy probably has a better sort of future ahead of him than Michael does, simply because Jozy is a little bit younger. And I think Michael, much more than Jozy, is sort of identified as the face of that U.S. national team, as the captain and as kind of, the most experienced player. And I think he got a lot of criticism, quite unfairly, if I'm expressing my opinion, even before, they failed to qualify for the World Cup. I think a lot of U.S. fans don't really seem to appreciate what Michael Bradley does. I think his is a very subtle game. And, he doesn't do a lot of flashy things, but he's vitally important to sort of holding that midfield together. But I'm not sure he was rightly appreciated even before the Trinidad game. And I think this just kind of, pushed it over the edge. And, to a certain extent, I think the U.S. is going to have to move on from a lot of these veterans and, bring in, a lot of young players. So, considering he's going to be 35 by the next time the World Cup rolls around too, I mean, how much can he really contribute? I have to think, though, that they're going to keep him around for a little bit. It's, it's great if they want to bring in all these young players, but you have to have some sort of veteran leadership and guys with experience as well. So I think he can help out for that. So I think, in the short term, probably, he's going to be in consideration. But in the long term, beyond like a year or two, I have to think that the U.S. is probably going to move on and, not give Michael Bradley as many caps as he thinks he deserves.
Chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet, John Molinaro. John, thanks for doing this. Enjoy the playoff run.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.